over the revenge again and again, because this is what we want you to take back from this entire thing. That first we listen that yes, there is a reason we establish that there is existence of God. And to see the God, the best way is to have Shabda Praman or the Vedas. And then Veda, how they are privileged for humanity, was discussed by Rajshekhar Babu yesterday. And yesterday he described the apara type. The para part of the Vidya, which is medical, astronomical and all things. And then we go to something which is higher. The reason for me to bring this forward again is yesterday after the session, somebody was asking me that still it's very difficult for me to believe why and what is the proof that the creation was made by the Lord and not Big Bang Theory. I still believe into Big Bang Theory. There's no problem. We have all the options, right? But the very important point which Rajshekhar Prabhu had mentioned yesterday, that science is proving things which is already described in part of Vedas, which we have seen. So all the part of medical, astronomical, whatever examples were given, like the plants have life, the earth is round, which we took efforts and maybe probably spent millions of dollars, and they give us knowledge which is already given. It's a part of the scriptures. So some part of the scripture is already proven by science and I have now no reason not to believe it. So I believe it. The rest part of the Vedas, which are not yet proven by science, that was my choice. Do I want to wait for the science to prove it and then do I believe it? Or I just accept it? It's enough for me to understand and accept that science is proving things which is already given. So at this moment, do I believe science, which is saying probably it is Big Bang Theory by which the creation happened, or already proven science which is beyond science or material science, which is saying that no, it was created. So this is why I wanted to come back to this point again, that science has proven a lot of things. But the rest which is just not proven, I'm not going to wait for the science to prove and then only believe. Because by that time, none of us will exist already. We all at least would have gone. Maybe we will exist in our soul because soul is eternal, but we would have lost the chance of this body. So we understood about the soul in today's session. Then Himanshu discussed about that there is a place which is full of Satchit Ananda, what is the natural qualities of the soul, to be eternal, happy and knowledgeable. And that we can connect it, or that we can get when we get connected to our original source, and that is the spiritual world. And that's why he ended just before the second last night. So final message was, go home, go back to Godhead. So how do we go back? So scriptures give us a verdict that the goal of human life is to perfect the life of this human form which we have been given to attain the highest perfection, to go back home to Godhead. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about various types of yoga, and there he says to Arjuna that tasma yogi bhavarjuna, that's why you should become a yogi, Arjuna, because by becoming yogi you will be able to perfect our life. This word yoga, probably it was not very famous previously, but in the last few decades, it has become really famous around the world. In any corner of the world, when we go, people talk about yoga. Thanks to Ramdev Maharaj, that he has become so famous, correct? But how do we understand yoga? What is the word yoga means? So those who have heard about yoga from me before, or those who have little knowledge, don't speak. Anybody who knows yoga, or who knows yoga, but who haven't heard from us here, do you know what the word yoga means? We all have heard, right? There's nobody here who is hearing yoga for the first time. Yoga classes we all want to go, right? What do you mean by yoga? Control of mind, very good. Anything else? What to say? We all have heard about yoga, right? So what do you mean? What is your understanding of yoga? What does yoga mean? Anybody else want to try? Okay. So to understand what is yoga, so these are the things which I'm going to cover today. What are the types of yoga? The highest yoga for this modern age. Benefits of practicing yoga. It's very important to give the benefits because there is no motivation without it, right? So we all are always looking for the carrot and then only we walk. Why do we practice yoga in this youth? Practical way to perform yoga and leading life around God. So, yoga word comes from Sanskrit root, which means huge. And huge means to join. You all have heard the words sanyog and viyog, right? Sanyog means meeting. Viyog means separation. What is common between the two? Yog. Because yog means joining. So the yoga word means to connect. Okay? So yoga is something connection. And what is a supreme yoga means? Connection of? Just now what we taught. The child to the father. The soul to super soul. To Lord. So that is the word of meaning of yoga. If we are a science student, then a definition becomes complete when we say something, what it is and what it is not. So what yoga is not? Yoga does not mean doing simple renunciation, going into places like Himalayas. It does not mean mere physical exercises for a shaped body or for good health, better sense gratification, to improve lifespan or to get mystic siddhis. As you understand, today's yoga classes, if you go, especially in the Western world, then you go to US, Canada, all these places, every street will have two or three yoga classes. But why do people go to yoga classes there? Because they feel after going there, they will remain healthy, they'll maintain their shape, they can enjoy it in a better way. But excuse me, this is not real meaning of yoga. Real meaning of yoga is something different. And that is why I like this line. People nowadays think that it is for having a better life. So they think yoga is for existing. But no, yoga is for exiting out of this material world to go back to the spiritual world. Okay? So what are the different types of yoga? I'm sure many of you have heard about different types of yogas. The average, if we divide, like if we go into the basic classification, they are divided into Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and last is Bhakti Yoga. So very quickly, because this is just a very short time what we have, we cannot go into detail of all yoga. So I'm going to just touch upon every yoga and then going to explain what practically we can do in our life to connect to the Supreme. That is a more important topic for us. So first we'll go to Karma Yoga. So what will be the definition of Karma Yoga? Karma means activities. And yoga means to connect. When a soul in a particular body does activities which will connect him to the Supreme Lord, that type of activities are called as Karma Yoga. As simple as that. Okay. So Bhagavad Gita describes that when work is done as a sacrifice to Lord, then one can remain free from the bondage. What does it mean? Simple Newton's third law. Every action has equal and opposite reaction. We all know this. So we all have understanding that when you do good karma, you will get good reactions. Right? You can get some money, you can get wealth, you can get beauty. If you do bad karma, you will be punished. But as just now Himanshu mentioned, that this represents whether it is good or bad. Still you are in material world. You are going from a lower self to a higher self. But you remain in the present house. Instead of being born by an iron chain, if you are binded by a silver chain or a golden chain, how does it help you? Correct? So just by doing good activity is not sufficient. Good activity means what? So first thing is that Bhagavad Gita says everybody nowadays very commonly says karma neva adhikarasya mahapadishamadachya. Do your activities, do not expect the result. Because if you expect the result, even if it is a good result, that good result is also going to bind you. In Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter 24 sloka, Krishna says that those who do good results, they will be elevated to higher planetary systems. But what happens? When you reach the higher planetary system, you will enjoy the reactions of the good karma, you will get facilities, you can be in heaven. But when your repository or when your collection gets over, you are being sent down again. Right? You can accumulate in bank a particular amount. You feel very rich, but once you start utilizing it, one day it's going to come down to nil, and then you have to start all over again. So, what is the two things which we can do? First, you do your karma, but understand that we do it in the mentality of a trusteeship. Okay? Just like a bank cashier. Once you're sitting on a cashier seat and a person comes and says, I want this much of amount of money to be withdrawn from my account, he gives. He doesn't feel said, oh my God, the bank account is going down. He's withdrawing 1 lakh rupees today or 1 lakh dollars. Somebody comes and deposits $100,000. He doesn't feel happy because it's going into the account of government and it's in the bank and it's going out. He's just a person who is transacting it. They're doing transactions, right? So when we act in a way just as an instrument of God, we have to do our duty, but when we act as an instrument without expecting any results, either that is good or bad, then it takes us out of this prison of bondage. And that is what is exactly the meaning of word nishkama karma. It's very difficult actually. Can you say to your prof that I will do my work, and I don't need a PhD in my life if I'm not attached? It's very difficult actually. Because still we are attached, till we do not look at the result, there's no motivation to work. Right? If I go for 1 month of job and if the boss says I will not give you salary, I will say never mind, no problem, I'm not attached to my result. I'm just going to work for you without it. It's very difficult, right? So nishkam karma is not something which is easy. But what is important is a motive behind it, that when we do the karma and when we are not attached to the results may still come, but they do not affect us, they do not make us happy or sad. We just remain steady. And what type of karmas? How can we make out that our karmas are actually type of nishkam karma? It is described in Bhagavatam, karma svarushitasya puksa visvakshena kathasuya na utpadaye yadi rati shrama evahi kevalam. When we do activities, at the end of it, if it does not produce, if you work for 1 month and if it doesn't produce a salary, it is useless labor. Similarly, when we do activities, and if it does not increase our rati, na utpadaye yadi rati, if it does not increase our attraction for the Lord at the end of it, it is only shrama evahi kevalam. It's going to be an S work. So whatever said and done, whether you do your PhD or whether you do my medical work, clinical work, at the end of it, we understand that we are just an instrument in the hands of the Lord, and we are doing it as service to the Lord, because all these are different souls which are part and parcel of the Lord. They are not attached to the result, and that becomes nishkam karma. Next is Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means, the basic understanding is when you understand a knowledge which will connect the soul to super soul, that type of knowledge will be called as Jnana Yoga. And that is the knowledge of absolute. Correct? So, the part of the Vedas which give you the knowledge of this material world is not the part of the Jnana Yoga. It's just how to live your life. But the part of the scriptures which connect you to the Supreme Soul or to the Supreme Lord, that is called as real Jnana Yoga. But if you want to see what are the scriptures and what are the, you know that there are Vedas, right? There are how many Vedas?
Four
Vedas. There are how many Puranas?
18
Puranas. There are how many Upanishads?
108.
108. After this, there is Itihas, Ramayana, and Mahabharata. In Mahabharata, there is Bhagavad Gita. Then there is Vedanta Sutra. There is Bhagavatam. There is no end. And yesterday, only somebody was talking. Rashika Prabhu said that totally there are 400,000.
Ten.
So that much is amount of the knowledge which is given. In this one lifetime, you want to start reading this knowledge. Is it possible to ever reach? Possible. And the most important part is that I had met last year one person who had done on half shloka, like one line of Sat Sandarbha. There is a book called Sat Sandarbha. In that one shloka, on half of that line, he has done his PhD from Oxford University. Yeah, the Professor Ravi Kumar. So just think that what is this knowledge? So it's just beyond our capacity. Again, in that, even if you start reading these scriptures, it's in Sanskrit, what happens? That you might get information. But that information, if it does not cause transformation of the heart, it's all useless labor. And even when you start reading a lot of scriptures, you start memorizing a lot of shlokas, and you think you know a lot, there is a danger. You might start doing speculation, you might start being proud, and sometimes you might get completely confused. So Jnana Yoga can give you a good amount of knowledge, but whether it will transform your heart or not, whether it will finally connect you to the Supreme Lord, and whether it will not get you confused or proud, or you will not start mental speculation, so these are the dangers and pros and cons of going into Jnana Yoga. So in Bhagavad Gita, again Krishna says, Bahunam Chamana Mante Jnana Va Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurabhata. Bahunam Jnana Mante, after many, many lives, Jnana Va Mam Prapadyate, Jnanis. After many lives, the Jnani Prapadyate will surrender to me and understand Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that the Supreme Lord Krishna is a super soul, or he is the Supreme Lord. Sa Mahatma Sudurlabhaha. Such a person is very rare. So here he himself, after describing Jnana Yoga, he says that it is very difficult to go into depth of all the knowledge. And even if one goes out of hundreds of them, after many lifetimes, only one will understand me in reality. So Jnana Yoga is also one of the yogas which is possible, but it is little dangerous, which is as mentioned by Krishna himself. Still, in case we want to have some knowledge, which is important, there is no doubt about it, that we need to have some knowledge without which our faith will never become strong. So how do we get the knowledge? And this was described yesterday. There are two important parts of by Rajahari Prabhu, Dr. Bala. That when you want to have knowledge, there are two important parts to it. What are the two different parts? You remember this? The same shloka which was quoted by Dr. Bala. He said, first is inquire submissively from a person who has the knowledge. So you have to find a person who has realized knowledge. And then from our side, we require two things. Submissive inquiry, and second, render service to him. Then that knowledge will be imparted to you. So those who really want to still have, or we want to have knowledge, these are the two things from our side is required. That inquire submissively, and second is render service, and then the knowledge will be given. Next is Ashtanga Yoga, or it is also called as Dhyana Yoga. So Ashtanga Yoga, as the name says, it has got Ashta Anga, it has got eight parts. And this is what exactly is the one which confuses most of the people today. Because when you go to yoga classes, they will maybe probably tell you to do some asanas, some pranayams. Sometimes they might tell you do something and avoid something, which means yama and niyama. But it does not go beyond halfway. Nobody talks to you about pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. And then they say, we are teaching you yoga. Right? But when they teach you some asanas and pranayams, it's just a small part of Ashtanga Yoga, which is just a small part of entire yoga system. So this is the Ashtanga Yoga. This is also described in scriptures. It has got eight. It starts with Yama. Yama means you follow something, you avoid something, then you do asanas, pranayama. But it is supposed to take you all the way up to the level of samadhi. A person who reaches the final stage of samadhi will be able to see the Lord face to face, which was described again by one of our speakers, that you can see the Lord. Mr. Yu gave the example of Prahlad Maharaj, right? In the Prahlad Maharaj, I think say Balabhrum, right? Dhruva. That he went and Narada was sent to him, and then he followed Narada's instruction completely. He was able to see Lord in front of him just in a duration of 6 months. Okay, and that was through the process of Ashtanga Yoga. But the process of Ashtanga Yoga, how to do it? The process is given again in Bhagavad Gita. The details are given in the Vedas also, but it is just a very short summary. When it is given that how do you perform yoga, if you want to do Ashtanga Yoga, you cannot just go to a yoga class which is in the center midst of a very busy street. You need to go to a secluded place like Himalayas, or maybe go to some ashrams on the bank of a river. So it has to be in a secluded place. Next, the person has to be following voluntarily complete brahmacharya. Next, erect body posture. We are sitting here for last probably 3 hours, which already we got a break in between. But still we cannot sit our erect posture, right? Sometimes they are moving like this, sometimes they are moving like this. But to do a proper dhyana yoga, we have to have our head, leg and backbone completely in one line. Possible for any one of us? Difficult. The eyes have to be half closed. You cannot keep it completely open because you will get distracted. And you cannot keep it closed because we will do another type of yoga then. Shayan yoga. The mind has to be steady. Just now, Prabhu was speaking. The mind is such difficult to control. As soon as we start chanting or we do something, the mind can give you an entire tour of the entire universe or world just in few seconds, right? Mind is very difficult to control. It is described that for doing this Ashtanga yoga, the mind has to be as steady as a flame of lamp in a windless place. It does not waver even a bit. It's very difficult. And then there should not be any fear. We all have all the time fear. We have fear of tomorrow. We have so much of lamentation of past. Our mind is always anxious. Right? So when this was described by Krishna to Arjuna, that you want to do Ashtanga Yoga, these are the things which are required. What was the reaction of Arjuna? What did he say? He said, yes, and Krishna says that yes, you can realize. A yogi who has perfected Ashtanga Yoga, at the end of his life, at his own desire, he is able to give up his pranavayu and his soul enters into Supreme Soul. It is possible, you can go all the way to Vaikuntha planet. But after hearing all these things, Arjuna mentioned, sorry, I don't think I can do it. And then he says, Chanchalahi Mana Krishna. My mind is so chanchal. It's so difficult. He says, it is Pramathi, Balava, Dhruva. It is determined to always give me trouble. It's Balava, it's very, very strong. And it's Pramathi, it is really obstinate. Just doesn't budge. It always makes me do what it wants me. And this is what Arjuna is telling. That his mind is very difficult to control. Who is this Arjuna? When he went to heavenly planets, when he was going to get the weapons, he was proposed. He got proposal from? Which Apsara? Who is Urvashi? She's the best of the Apsaras. And when Urvashi comes and proposes, he says, sorry mother, you are my mother. His mind was so controlled. And he says, I cannot do Ashtanga Yoga because my mind is very chanchal. Right? So I always mention, Hindi men, if Arjuna says he cannot do, hum kaun se khel ke boli hai? How can we control our mind? just not possible. Right? Secondly, even if you think you can control it, even if you think you can do it, it's very easy to fall down. Any example?
Just Chan and Varsha.
Vishwamitra. Right? Shaugari Muni. Yes. Enough examples. If you go, it's not easy. Why? Why it's not easy? Because our mind is always pulling us down to negativity. So this material world in sense gratification. And when we do this Ashtanga Yoga, we are struggling to keep our mind and to bring it up. If a child is holding a knife, the mother gets very scared, isn't it? The father will get very scared and you want to get the knife out of the child's hand. The child is holding at the sharp edge. Then you are stuck. You can't pull it out. Until the child gives it up, you are just stuck. What do you do that time? Give up.
Give me chocolate.
What is Shiva saying? Correct. Give something which child likes more. Give a higher taste. Right? You give chocolate, you give some toy, the child will give up. So mind has to be given something higher taste, then the mind will be relatively be easy to give up the lower taste. But when they are giving this mind to control their senses and do Ashtanga Yoga, they are giving what? They are trying to go into vacuum, in complete nirakar. What mind is going to get attracted to? There is nothing to hold on to. And that is why it is very easy to fall down. Even when they have succeeded for hundreds and thousands of years, many times meditating on the Supreme Lord, but then it's very easy that just by little jhankar of ankle bells, they will fall down. And last is that even if you become successful, the first result comes are different siddhis. If you have known, there are 8 types of siddhis, Ashta Siddhi, Anima, Mahima, Lahima. You can become heavier than the heavy, you can become taller than the tallest, you can become shorter than the shortest. You can know what is going on others' mind, and you can produce things from nowhere. This we have seen, right? Many, many babas, they will give you rak, they will give you some fruits. They produce things from nowhere. Since siddhis, what is the siddhi going to do to you? It will either make misuse of it by trying to become God, or you become proud. Once there was a sadhu who was sitting with his disciples, and then he was telling that what is the use of siddhis. So the disciple mentioned that there is another sadhu who is nearby who went to Himalayas for 12 years and it strong tapasya with lot of austerities, and now he is able to walk over the water and he can cross the river just by walking over it. So this sadhu said, I can just take a small boat, give 25 paisa and cross over. Why I should waste my 12 years of life getting one siddhi like this? This is a problem with siddhi, that it can very easily can misguide you or sometimes make you proud, or maybe you will misuse it. But anyways, anybody here thinks that they can go to Himalayas and would like to do Ashtanga Yoga? It's not meant for this yoga anyways.
This place is becoming
Himalayas. Yes. So part of austerities you can do. Okay. And the last type of yoga is described as Bhakti Yoga. And Bhakti Yoga means what? By doing Bhakti or doing loving devotional service, the soul gets connected to Super Soul or to the God. What do you mean by doing loving devotional service? If somebody comes to my house, I can cook for him. I can serve him. But do you and me, do we see Lord? How do I do devotional service to the Lord? If I want to serve him, how do I serve him? Correct? So it is also given that the way we act in our life is we have senses and we act with our senses, then mind and intelligence. So when we give our senses, mind and intelligence in the service of the Lord to help His children and to follow His instruction, He takes that service. That is why the way of doing bhakti simply given is sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmanam. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate. What is bhakti? The definition of bhakti is given here. That Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam. Give up all this external, so many ABCD, EFG degrees, whatever has been given. And make your heart very simple, nirvana. Just become a simple person. Because for Lord, all these big degrees have no big values. What He wants to see do, or what He wants to see in you is Rishikena Rishikesha. Rishikena means with the senses. Rishikesha is the master of senses, Lord. Serve Him. When we do Sevanam, He is happy. That is called as Bhakti. And that is why it's something which is very natural for each one of us. Just now Himanshu said that there are two components to us. One is that we want to love and loved. We want to feel loved and we want to love. And second is we are always serving. That is the nature of a soul. We are always serving. So when we are serving anyways, when we start serving the Supreme Lord, that becomes bhakti. So, doing bhakti in the life is called as addition without any subtraction. And very important for doing bhakti is that it should be done for the Lord, not for others. This, you can obviously do to others, but the center should be the God. So, how do we perform bhakti? Oh my God, it has got sound effect also. When we do any activity in our life, we can do it at four stages. I'm just going to go over this custom animation effect of. Okay. So if we see any activity done in our life, we can do it at four stages. Fear, desire, duty and love. Isn't it? Today you all are struggling hard to do your to pursue your master's or PhDs or you want to get a job, right? We are doing out of, probably because of fear that I better study or I will fail. Second, we feel that we also have desire to finish off this study and get this DR in front of our name. Why? Because it is our duty that our parents have done so much for us and we want to do it as a duty back to them. But it can be also done with I just don't do it at the level of fear, desire or duty. But I do it out of love. And when you do things out of love, the mode in which we work becomes very different. When you start enjoying the activities what we are doing, we feel it nice, right? When we start loving our work, when we start living our job, the life is very easy. As compared to when you just go do it as your duty or out of fear. Correct? Similarly, when you serve the Lord and His devotees, bhakti comes only when we do it at the level of love. We can do it also at the level of fear, desire or duty. Have you seen these examples? We have seen, probably even used to do it also, that before exams, the number of people going to temple increases so much. Much more chanda starts getting put into the donation box. Right? That is because of fear. Bhagavan passed there, right? There is so much of fear then. We worship Lord. Sometimes we want to get something fulfilled. So with the desire, we go to the Lord. Right? Let me pass, let me get this job. I will come and do 100, I will offer 100 coconuts. So I'm going to say one very small saying which I had heard. That when we go to the temple, many times we go and think that we are going to a hotel. We go and take out our menu card and tell Bhagwan, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me, and then I will give the payment, right? I will do so many things in return. So we think that it is an Lord is our order supplier. He is our bellboy. Ye la ke do, right? But what does Lord say? So I'm going to say in Hindi. Everybody understands Hindi here? Huh? Anybody who doesn't understand Hindi? Okay. Okay. So maybe somebody can translate for you later.
We can translate.
So when we go to the Lord in temple or when we are praying and when we give our menu card, Bhagwan ye kar do, Bhagwan wo kar do, to Bhagwan kya bolte hai? Bhagwan bolte hai, tu wo karta hai jo tu chahta hai. Correct? Hum wo karte hai jo? We always do things what we like. So Lord is saying, tu wo karta hai jo tu chahta hai. और होता वही है जो After we do our duty, then finally we say, hey, bhava, kar dena abhi to. Right? Then God says, hey, tu wo karta hai, jo tu chahata hai, par hota wahi hai, jo main chahata hoon. Agar tu wo chahega, jo main chahata hoon. Agar tu wo karega, jo main chahata hoon. Samajh le, hoga wahi, jo tu chahata hai. Right? But we have to understand what is there, because he's not our bellboy. He's always there to fulfill our desires. A father is not never cruel to his child. If the child says he wants some choice, we have our living examples. The parents don't want to spoil their children, so they're not going to give everything whatever the child asks for. But at the same time, they are never hard-hearted that they will just not fulfill any desire. They will always do what the child needs. They will not do what the child wants. They might also fulfill some of the wants. But whatever is needed will always be taken care of. Is there any exception? A loving parent who has the ability to fulfill the needs of a child will always fulfill the need of a child. So why our Supreme Father will not fulfill our needs when he is all capable? Is there anything which he cannot do? He will always do. And that is why, though we can worship the Lord, serve him either out of fear or desire or duty, the best is to serve him or to pray to him with love. When we do that, the Lord gets touched. I'll give again a simple story. The Lord doesn't want to see what you give. He wants to see the feeling in our heart, how we are giving or serving him. A child whose father's birthday was coming told his father and mother that I want a small box. He wrapped it in a nice box. They said that I'm going to put a small gift into this box and give it to you. So every day he would go into his room and he would tell his parents that I'm going to prepare this for my father's birthday. And then he would go, he'd close his door and he'll come out and he'll say, after 10 days you will get this gift. I'm putting something in the gift box. And 10 days he would go and he would come out and the parents would see the box lying in his room. On the 10th day, on the father's birthday, the child comes and presents this box to the father. The father, with a lot of now expectation that what my child has collected for 10 days, he opens the box. What is there inside the box? It's empty. It's empty. The child, what will be your reaction?
Why did you do this to me?
Yeah, he was very upset. What is this? This box and wrapped box I only gave you. You are giving this empty box to me. So he really felt very insulted. And he actually just slapped the child. He said that, why are you insulting me? I didn't want anything from you. But you only wanted to give me something. What have you given? The child said, I had put 100 kisses in this box. Cannot you feel, Papa? Every day I was putting my 10 kisses into that. And the father realized, it's the love. They don't want to take anything back from you. It's the love which matters. And if father who is connected to this body just for a few years, if he can understand, why will our Supreme Father want anything more? What he wants is only our love. If it falls out of the air. So how do we, in our practice, show our love to God? We want to serve him. How do we serve him? What is the process? And there are 9 processes given in scriptures. It's called Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Arjanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atma Nivedanam. It means that when you hear about the Lord or his devotees, when you speak about the Lord, when you remember him, he's happy. I won't go into detail of all these things. The most important part of this is Shravanam and Kirtanam. When we hear the message of Lord, and we speak it to others, he's happy. So at this moment, what we are doing is bhakti. Somebody is speaking about the message of Lord, and some people are hearing. So together what we are doing is bhakti. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, what can we do which will make him happy? Bhagavad Gita has 700 shlokas, and there is only one shloka. Those who know me, they know that this is one of very common statement from me, that Lord has repeated only one shloka out of 700 shloka, right? Does it mean that he knew 699 after that? Just bore gaya re, chalo ek repeat kar do. No, right? He repeated one shloka. There is only one shloka which is repeated. 9.34, 18.65. Those who do not have Bhagavad Gita, please take it. Do we have Bhagavad Gita today? Do we have the books? Okay, so we have the books. Somebody, if you want to take book, Bhagavad Gita or other small books, we will have a small spread out on the table. You can go and look into that. So it's only one shloka which Krishna repeated, which says, Manvana bhavad bhakto madhya jivam namaskaru mam evashyasi satyam te prati chale priyo asime. You become clear to me by doing what? Manvana. Give your mind to me. Give your heart to me. Bhavamad bhakto. Become my devotee. Madhyaji. Yaji means worship. Worship means mam namaskuru. Offer your homage to me. And like that, you will without fail come back to me. So he's already given us a process how to please him. You want to please him, you want to connect to him. And this is how we can please him and get connected back. So that is the different types of yogas. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita started from chapter 2 onwards. 2 is a summary of Bhagavad Gita. 3rd starts with the Karma Yoga, 4th is Jnana Yoga, 6th is Dhyana Yoga. And then Krishna is, Arjuna is completely sweating, saying, oh my God, you have given me so much of knowledge, but I'm confused. So he asked, Arjuna asked Krishna directly, you have described everything, but now you tell me what is the yoga I must do. And that is what is the question for us, that what is the yoga which we can do in our life? And Krishna himself says, what is the topmost yoga in this age? Krishna says in 6th chapter 47th shloka that of all the yogi, one who is in great faith and always abides in me, thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is most intimately associated with me. So basically, after describing all different yogas, he tells that the topmost of all the yoga is simple bhakti yoga. So, benefit of doing yoga. Now we understand that, okay, I can do yoga and I can learn to do bhakti yoga. But what am I going to get out of it? What is the important part of it? And there are a lot of advantages or benefits given in scriptures. Maybe we may not go into detail. Practically speaking, I can tell you from my personal experience. Slowly, over a period of time, when we start practicing this, the mind starts becoming more steady. You just feel peaceful, happy, which we all want to be. And we always feel protected under the care of the Lord. We know that whatever He is doing is for my best. The happiness will come, difficulties will come. But somehow, it's relatively easy to remain steady in life. One thing which gives strong assurance to face these challenges in life is 9th chapter, 22nd shloka of Bhagavad Gita, when he says, Ananyas chintayanto ma ye jana pari upasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshimam vahamyaham. What he says is assuring that one who is giving his life ananyas chintayanto ma and is always thinking about me, what do I do? I protect what he has and I provide what he lacks. These are the reason of our anxiety in this world. What if I don't get this? And what if I lose what I have? Is this not? But if somebody ensures us that yes, whatever you don't have, I will give you. And whatever is required, what is given to you will be protected by me. It's very easy to become anxiety free. And that is exactly what Krishna has promised. That those who worship me, I will take care of both these things. And that is why our duty becomes to do chintan on him, then we can leave chinta. Correct? We have always chinta or anxiety going on in our head. But when we start doing chintan on the Lord, he takes our chinta. All of you know the story in Mahabharata. I'm sure many of you must be knowing, you have heard of the day in the battlefield of Mahabharata. Arjuna's son was killed, Abhimanyu was killed, Arjuna took a vow that night. What was the vow? He said, tomorrow,
before sunset,
I will kill Chaitrath. If not, I will enter fire. You would always just feel very kshatriya and always take such vows. This is at the end of the day. And after taking the vow, what did he do? He went to his camp and slept peacefully. And who was not sleeping?
Krishna.
He was saying, hey Bhagavan. Now, Kaurava's army will be all awake, making all the arrangements to protect only one person tomorrow. How many ever dies? But if Chaitrath is protected till sunset, Arjuna is gone. And once Arjuna is gone, it's very easy to defeat others. Kaurava's new. And so, Krishna started sweating now. He was in chinta. Why? Because Arjuna was doing chinta. When Arjuna would sleep with his every breath, the name of Krishna would come out. Even in sleep, he was always meditating and remembering Krishna. And then, there is no need of any anxiety. It was Krishna who had to take all anxiety. And we all know the next day, how Krishna made arrangement to save finally Arjuna and to see that Chaitrath was killed. Right? So this is the rest. This is the thing which assures us that Lord will protect us. We have seen time and again. I had one nurse in my department in Bombay Hospital when I was in Bombay. She would say, I will never become devotee of Krishna. I am a devotee of Lord Shiva, but I don't want to become devotee of Krishna. I said, why? She said, devotee of Krishna always have difficulty in their life. Correct or no? Correct. If you open Bhagavatam, they always have some of the other troubles in life. Right? Pralad, who from their childhood, Pandavas, who are the best of friends and relatives, and still they have so much of suffering in life. She said, Krishna, no, sorry, Mama. My Lord Shiva is fine. No problem. Right? But at the same time, if you look at the second side, yes, there are troubles and challenges in the life of devotees. But is there any example where the devotees who took shelter of Lord, he did not protect them? No. We'll never find an example. He has always kept his word that he will always protect. And that is our assurance of doing service to him. That yes, if I give my life, and if I put him in my life, in the center of my life, it's not going to be any loss on my side. And this is what Lord has promised. That I do not only protect him or give him what they need and protect what they have, but what do I do? I become their servant. I become their order carrier. Right? If we have to become driver of somebody, it's like taking a chauffeur's job, right? Is it easy? It's not easy. But Krishna became chauffeur for Arjuna. Those who are new, because when this was told to me, when I came to know, I did not know this part, very touching, when I came to know this reality, that in the war, when people fight, there's a lot of roaring noises going on. You know that, right? Even in like borders, if you go, they always roar. So even in those times when Kurukshetra war was going on, people would roar. And one of the roar was coming from Arjuna's flag. Hanuman would roar so loudly that it would shatter the heart of the enemy. That is how Hanuman was also helping Pandavas. In that roar, if the person who is the chariot, the person who is just going in the chariot or the fighter, if he has to tell go right, go left, and he's shooting arrows, they cannot say. They cannot say, and the other person is not going to be able to hear. What was the way of communication? They would kick. If you kick on the right side of the chariot, he takes to the right, kick on the left, left, kick in the center, they go straight. This is just the way how we put our feet on accelerator and brake. Right? So for 18 days, Krishna was taking kicks of his devotee. Every day, in the break time and at the end of the day, he would personally wash, give baths to the horses of the chariot, feed them first, the horses, and then eat himself. This is what is the duty of a charioteer. So he was not only just sitting and doing, acting as charioteer, he was actually taking the responsibility to serve his devotee. And this is what this assurance which Lord has given. If he can do this much, Vaikra should not be. So why do we do yoga in the young age? When I was in my MBBS class and when I started going for these programs, my sir, surgery teacher, HOD, was so attached. You would always tell me, Niketa, you are doing this is nice. I don't say no, but why at this age? Do it when you are old. Why you want to do it at this age? I think you are right, but do it later in life. What was my answer? I will say, you join, I believe. Like, sir, you are old, right? At least you join now. It's very difficult, right? Why should we do yoga? Why should we start at a young age? Prahlad Maharaj says that one, we should, every person should start at least at the age of 5. Why? Because the mind is still soft, it can be molded. It's pure with our experience that as we grow, we have our own tendencies, we have our own thought process, and it's difficult to mold it later. More than that, even if you think that we can mold later when we grow, if somebody is coming to your place, President of Singapore, or Prime Minister of Singapore, and you have to give him something, will you give him something which is fresh or something which is stale? We never give him a rose which is dwindled, right? You always will give him something which is fresh, correct? So if the President or the Prime Minister, the in charge of the entire universe, if we want to offer him something, why do we want him to become old age? We have nothing else to do in life, that is the time that we go and take shelter of him and start doing bhakti. He's going to accept anyways. But is this what we want to show? Sincerity. And more than that, what is your age? Are you old? Are you old? Am I old? A child who is going to die, who is having leukemia or blood cancer and is going to die in 6 months, is older than me. Correct or no? Do we know when are we going to die? We don't know. Parikshit Maharaj was told that he is going to die after 7 days. We don't know even when, if we are going to live for next 7 days or 7 minutes or 7 seconds. So how can we say that I have 3 more years to go when I will do everything? Why wait? Do it when it is available at the same time. And last, practical way to perform yoga, bhakti yoga, in our life. Right? Krishna said, Banmana Bhavavat Bhakto Vadya Ji. Do all these things. But how do I practice in my life? Tell me now, enough, convinced. Okay, what do we do? When you want to start learning a language, how do we start? With the basics of that language. A, B, C, D, E, right? Gha, 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 right? So what is the A, B, C, D? The basics of Bhakti Yoga. Association, books, chanting, diet, and enthusiasm. So, quickly we will go over each one of them. First is association. We all know we become what we associate with. Correct? The children, when they start going to school, when they come back in the evening, mother is always looking in the bus or in the school, who my child is sitting next to, who is playing with. That child is always speaking very bad words. You better don't go and play with that child. Don't be sad. Our children. Right? Why? Because they want to pick up all those things. So association is very important. Without association, we can never grow. And that is why this university is made. That is why the college is made. Information is available on Google. Now Google has become God. Google God. Type one thing, tap, 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 and then you'll have 100,000 references. And you will have so much of information. But that cannot cause transformation because it is just knowledge, just an information. But when you go into association and when you see people around practicing, utilizing and applying that knowledge, which is called as realized knowledge, that is going to change our life, and that is what is the importance of association. And that is why these temples are like universities. Prabhupada was founder of this movement. He was asked, why are you building so many temples? What is the need of building a temple? Is there any need? There are hundreds and thousands and sometimes millions of rupees going on into building a temple. You can might as well feed children or those who are hungry. It is one of the themes of one of the recent movies also, right?
Oh my god,
of PK also, I've heard. Some similar, right? Why do you waste money on these things? Why should you build temples? Why should you go and offer talent to God? Why can't you utilize this money for feeding poor children? But that is very simply understood by understanding that the child was left on the road and you want to just give him a bath. Utilizing that money, if you just want to feed that child, if you just want to give some toy to that child, is it sufficient? You want to connect him to the Supreme Father. And that is why you need them to train. And train where? For colleges and universities, for this academic knowledge, we require college and universities. So temples are similarly university to teach the scriptural higher absolute knowledge. Temple does not mean building a particular structure, having some idol, go, dhogdo, like, worship and go back. Or maybe probably sometimes read out our menu, whatever we need in our life, put some money and go back. That is not temple. Maybe in our childhood, maybe before, we used to do that. We used to just feel happy that I'm going to temple, seeing some so-called deity or idol, praying and coming back. Prayers, most of the times, are felt with our orders, what we need in life. But that is not actually temple. Temple is a university where it is taught what is the goal of life, who are you, why you have come here, and what is the way to escape or go out of this cycle of birth and death. That makes a structure a real temple. And it is also important to make our own house a temple. It's very simple. Making our own house a temple. Just have a life which is centered around God, and that will make ghar ek mandir. And it was also one of the old movies. So for all of you here, what is there available? Every Thursday evening, 7 or 7.15, we all have association going on over here. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavatam, Narada asked once Krishna, where do you stay? Where are you? And Krishna very clearly says that I am not present where the munis are doing austerities or the rishis are doing sacrifices. But whenever my devotees are chanting and glorifying my name and devotees, I am present there. Krishna says, what is it? Naham Vasanti Vaikunthi. I am not in Vaikunthas, nor I am in the rishis or munish austerities. But wherever my devotees are chanting, I am present there. And that is what we do here every Thursday. If you all are around in any ways, when you come here together, when we read Bhagavad Gita, when we discuss Bhagavatam, when we hear about Lord, we convert this environment into a spiritual world. It is the matter of consciousness. It's not the matter of the structure. The consciousness makes up a thing what it is. If you go in the temple and you're going to talk about the sari and the dress and the cosmetics, you are making that temple into a beauty parlor. And if you come here and or sit together and if you discuss Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or your scriptural knowledge and try to understand the importance of soul and connection to God, that place itself becomes temple. Yatra Gayanti Manbhakta Tatra Tishthami Narada. Wherever my bhaktas are singing my glories, that is the place where I am. At this time, if we chant from Lord Krishna's name, we will do it in the evening. Lord appears there and that place becomes temple. So I'm inviting openly those who are not coming here regularly on Thursdays. Please feel free every Thursday. We are here at about 7:15 and we go on till about 8:30 followed by dinner. So next in ABCD is books. We all have a lot of transaction with the books from childhood. The academic books, and then once we grow, then we start liking the stories and our novels and then the magazines, right? But that is all filled with material knowledge. But the importance of reading scriptural or higher absolute knowledge is important because it's going to give us transcendental knowledge. And why do you need to know? The process of connecting to the Lord in this yoga is called as chanting. We just chant Lord's name and we can please Lord. Then why do you need to read scriptures or books and you need to know the, or understand the knowledge? Is it important? Why do we every Thursday come and discuss Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavata? Why can't we just chant? Why do we understand the knowledge or understand the philosophy? To make our faith, which is weak in the beginning, it is also called as Shraddha, to go deep and become Nishtha, where it becomes unshakable. Most of us had the faith, yes, God does exist. But when we understand how does He exist, how can I relate to Him? Our faith becomes deep. It becomes unshakable. And that is what is done when we read books or discuss and get the knowledge. Next is chanting. This is the important part of the entire process of Bhakti Yoga. See, chanting. Why? Because again it is described in scriptures that in every different yoga, the process of connecting to the Supreme is different. Right? In first Sati Yoga, the process of connecting to the Lord was by doing hundreds and thousands of years of meditation. The same process became difficult in the following Treta Yoga. And so, doing various sacrifices, doing different yajnas, became the relatively easy process of achieving the Supreme Lord. When it came to Dwapara Yoga, even doing proper sacrifice was difficult. And that time, deity worship was introduced. They would do deity worship by having the Lords in the deity form and then into perfect service. You finally will be able to establish your relationship with the Lord. But in Kali Yuga, none of this is possible. We may be able to do little bit of austerities or little bit of deity worship, but doing it completely to the stage where we can actually connect back and go back is very difficult. So, in our school, in our time, out of 100, there was a passing mark. What was the passing mark? 35, right? Our time was 35, right? But if the whole class is so dull, then you put 35 and nobody can pass and nobody can go ahead. What does the school does that year? They reduce the standard of age. Okay, 25. Whoever has at least got more than 25, they can at least go to the higher class. So in Kali Yuga, the life expectancy has reduced. The memory has reduced. The people have become more miserable. Why? Because they are always hypocritical and they are always fighting. They are envious. And that is why Lord has also reduced the standard. He said, okay, something which was very, it was available with a lot of sacrifices and pujas and meditation, I will give simply to those who chant the holy name of the Lord. So, again in Bhagavatam it comes, Kali Dosha Nidhya Rajan Asti Eka Mahankula Kirtana Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramprajit. In Kali Yuga, Dosha Nidhi, it's full of faults. But Asti Eka Mahankula, there is only one good quality. Kirtana Eva Krishnasya. Just by chanting the name of Lord Krishna, Mukta Sangha Paramprajit, one can get completely liberated. How is it so simple? Is it possible? Just by chanting Lord's name. Sometimes when something is given free or little relatively sale, we start looking at the effects. There must be some problem in life. It cannot come so. The problem is in our mind. Right? Now, one thing which I want to make very clear, that chanting is a process given in Kali Yuga. But don't think it is only for Hindus. They have to chant Krishna's name or Ram's name. Then it cannot be Sanatan Dharma. We are talking about Sanatan Dharma. We are not talking about Hindu religion. Religion is faith. You heard Prabhu was saying, Yuga Vishnu Prabhu, religion is faith. But Sanatan Dharma, we are not talking about faith. We are talking about something which is applicable to every person in this world. May he be a Christian, may he be a Muslim, anything, any religion, any faith. What is the process given in the other scriptures? If you see, Muslims sit and chant the names of Lord Allah 3 times a day. Or how many times?
5 times a day.
Christians, they also have rosary bead and they also chant. Guru Granth Sahib also says that there is only one way of realizing the Lord who is there in our heart is by chanting His holy name. All scriptures in Kali Yuga have given the same solution. To realize or to finally connect to the Lord is chant the holy name. It has to be bona fide. I cannot concoct the name and then produce from there. And then that might not give enough proper effect. So the way the body requires exercise to keep fit, similarly, the mind requires exercise to remain fit and under control. And that is by doing meditation and yoga. And what is the meditation? What we do generally? We're trying to do. You're trying to do meditation completely blank. It's relatively difficult. So you take the name of the Lord and you meditate or chant that name again and again, which helps the mind over a period of time to be pulled again back and then become strong. Last is diet. Just now we talked about three modes of material nature, and there is entire chapter in Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, where it is described charity, the mood, the food, everything is into three modes. So food is also a mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. It is prescribed that those who want to pursue or be serious in their efforts of getting into spiritual knowledge or to get that knowledge, sattvic ahar or the food in the mode of goodness should be consumed. What is the food in mode of goodness? Krishna says, patra pushtam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. So he says, leaf, fruit, flower, water, like that. But you want to give pain to other jivas, and for our sense gratification, when we kill others, that makes our heart hard. With that hard heart, it becomes very difficult to get that fine understanding of spiritual knowledge. So importance is in diet, that we take pure sattvic ahar. But it's not only vegetarian diet, but it's offered to the Lord. Is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference. I'm sure many of you would have got this experience, that in the childhood, like I used to go and tell my mother, can you make the halwa which is made in Satyanarayan Puja? And she would try and make the same halwa made of suji. But I would tell her, sorry mommy, this is not the same. Can you make the same? And she would say, this is just made the same way, but it was different. What was different? Because it was prasad. Believe me, I used to hate khichdi. Only when you are sick and when you have to die, you must eat khichdi, I would take. Otherwise, I would never touch khichdi. But once you go to temple and they start giving khichdi, next time I meditate on that, when am I going to get that khichdi again? I was thinking, what made this khichdi so attractive, so tasty? Because it is offered to the Lord. When you make simple preparations and when you put that thing in front of a deity or a picture of the God, and when you tell Krishna, please take it, please eat it. Lucky is not going to eat away everything so that we have to cook again. No. What does he do? He takes your love and he puts his mercy into it. And that is why that food is then called prasad. Because prasad means mercy. Is it difficult? We all are cooking, we all are eating every day. Just take a few more minutes in between before we start eating and pray. Thank you for giving this. Please accept this before I take. And that is Bhakti Yoga. So simple to do. And last is E for enthusiasm. Enthusiasm for all other four things. Association, reading books, chanting, and for offering food and then eating prasadam. It is said that a man without enthusiasm is called as animal. And sometimes we just don't feel enthusiastic. That time, act enthusiastic. It's not that I'm telling you to become hypocrite. But when we are not just feeling like doing something, I might just take a backseat and I might say that, okay, today let me just act lazy. But it will pull us down into a mode of ignorance. But when we stretch ourselves and just act enthusiastic to do what it's like to be done, the Lord in the heart will finally empower us and make that action going right and to become true enthusiasm. So, this entire session's now the final message. that the goal of life is self-realization. We are not here only to eat, sleep, wait and defend. We are humans. We have to make our life better, more than animals. So, we have to put our efforts into science of self-realization. And how do we realize? By understanding that there is God. We are soul. Absolute knowledge is given in scriptures. And there is a spiritual reality. There is a spiritual world where we need to go. And how do we go there? By association, chanting, books, and diet. Bhakti Yoga is a yoga for modern age. I don't think Karma Yoga can be part of it, but we are not able to completely give up the attachment to our work. Is it possible? Can we continue to do our PhD thesis, or I can do my job and do not expect the result? Sorry. At this stage, it doesn't. My heart doesn't go for it, right? So complete Nishkam Karma Yoga doesn't happen. So at least I do Bhakti. Till then, Karma Yoga will be included into that. And Jnana Yoga, very difficult to do. We already saw. There's pros and cons. I can't read everything. Dhyana Yoga, definitely not possible. So by exclusion, we are not left with much choice. At the same time, doing Bhakti Yoga is simple. Associate. Read a book. We all are forced to read our PhD books or theses or papers. Can we take about 5 minutes time of reading one page of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or scripture? If you are of faith of a Christian and you want to read Bible, it's fine. No scriptural knowledge is going to be contradictory. They teach the same thing. But importance is that sincerity of purpose. We must do that. Before eating, just offer the food in, at least in the mind. And tell God or tell Krishna that please accept it and then eat it. It's simple. And last, most important, chanting. Chanting is the way of self-realization in this modern age. Again and again, in multiple, there is an entire presentation on chanting with all the possible references from different scriptures that why we should chant, but there is a separate session. But one session with one thing which I would say that first presentation, the Prabhu said that take this as a scientific experiment. We start as an experiment and then with experience. So that is not too important word, right? Experimental knowledge and experiential knowledge. We have to get the experience. We start with an experiment. Take this hypothesis today. Take it just as a simple hypothesis. Chanting is the process of connecting to the Lord in this modern age of Kali Yuga. Hypothesis. Okay. Then we are going to do a experiment. So what is the tool? You require some apparatus, you require some tools. What are the tools? Take the chanting bag, chanting bead, and chant on one every bead. Bona fide name of the Lord. You want to chant Ra, it's fine. You want to chant Jehovah, you want to chant Allah, it's fine. We recommend one of the mantras. If you do not have your own mantra which you want to chant, it has to be bona fide. So we recommend chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram, Ram Hare Hare. Why? Why am I crazy, or just because I am Hare Krishna and telling you to chant Hare Krishna? No, there is a reason for it. The mantras in different ages have different effect. So every yoga, one mantra is called as Maha Mantra. And that is most effective. It doesn't make other mantras not effective. They are effective. But something is more effective. In Satya Yoga, the Maha Mantra was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In Treta Yoga, what was the Lord Ram's name? It was so powerful that even the stones were floating. Next came Treta Yoga, Dwapar Yoga. In that, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama was the topmost, the Maha Mantra. And in Kali Yuga, in an Upanishad, it is given, Kali Santaran Upanishad, that is 16-worded mantra, which has a name Hare, Rama and Krishna. The combination of these three is the Maha Mantra. So this mantra has been given as Yuga Dharma. In Kali Yuga, want to try other names, bona fide names, sorry. You can try that. But if you have to try, better try Maha Mantra. Right? So we chant on the beads, once every day, and that is going to take one mantra, like one beat takes about 7 to 8 minutes. It's not very difficult. Out of 24 hours, multiply by 60, how many minutes? 1440. So out of that 1440 minutes, if you give 7 minutes for doing this experiment, I guess it is less than doing a PhD. Right? And chant the mantra and then try. And then maybe you decide that I'm going to try this for 3 months. Right? So towards the end of the year, you analyze yourself again. You analyze, you see whether it has changed your life. For your own way, in your own way, you see whether it has changed your life, whether it has helped you, do it. Continue. If not, leave it. What have you lost? 7 minutes a day for 3 months? Is it a big deal? You go to see one movie, you're going to kill 3 hours of your life. So this is a simple process, experimental. You can start. Those who are not chanting, do we have beats? We may not have much time, so we're just going to show you those who want to do this experiment and start from today, those who are not having the beats. And doing the chanting is in two ways. One is called as japa, that you chant on the beats. That is for our own purification. But it is difficult to control the mind. The mind goes here and there, it runs everywhere. So a simpler way of doing this chanting of the holy name is called as sankirtan. We come together, sing and chant, which is relatively more easy, right, for each one of us. So, thank you. So both is important. We do sankirtan and then we do japa. One mala or one entire mala has 108 beads. So that is called as japa. So what we do is we have a central bead which is also called as Krishna bead, and we have small beads which is called as, these are all small beads, or which we call gopis. So on every bead, we chant for entire mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then you go to the next bead. Then you again chant the same mantra like that. When you come to the end, it is going to be over probably in 7 minutes or in the beginning sometime. Till we have practice, it might take 8 minutes or 9 minutes. That's maximum. Do we want to do now? Or we can do kirtan. Next is doing kirtan. So probably it is 10 plus of the time constraint. I think we should do. So we have few beads here. I think they have got the beads right. So those who are having beads, those who want to chant, please continue to chant. For those who, this is a new process, those who do not have beads, please take the beads from him. He will again show you if you want how to chant. And do it this just with little faith as an experiment for 3 months. After 3 months, you come back. If it doesn't work, we will stop doing device. I'm telling you so much of confidence because I've been doing this for 20 years. And the answer is always that people have got help from this. And that is why with so much of confidence I can claim this, right? Because once something is proven in many, many journals, then we know that yes, this is a fact. And this has helped everybody. So many people have tried. So why it will not help you? So give it a trial. And then maybe we will do probably 5 or 7 minutes of kirtan now. The sankirtan part of the experiment. And that's all. So is there anybody who has any questions at this moment?
Can you go back to the slide of trying posture?
Yeah, tell me. What about that?
No, I just want to know.
Sure.
Also, slide escape.
Wait. I will just go here. See me here. Anybody else has any other question? No question, then we are going to do a practical session now of japa, not japa, of kirtan for maybe 7 to 8 minutes, and after that we will go out and have dinner. Sakyam is becoming friend with the Lord. And last day is Atma Nivedanam, that means completely surrendering ourselves to the Lord. Rasam is becoming Sarovar. Vandana means worshipping or offering prayers. Archana means doing deity worship. And Padasevana means like going to various holy places, visiting them, doing yajna.